Abraham was that kind of, was that person that walked the walk of God. He walked the walk of faith. And through that faith, God, you know, gave a lot of promises. You know, like the normal cliche is like, oh, you know, God promised Abraham, Abraham will have a son. But there are some also, but there are also some other promises that God gave to Abraham, which a lot of us tend to ignore. But we'll start from the beginning. Let's open Genesis chapter 12 from verses 1 to 5. We're going to see how all the promises of God. Genesis chapter 12 from verses 1 to 5. He said, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of the country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation." Now, this is where the promises start. You know, he first commanded. Now he said, "I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Let's see, you see? See the promises where he's starting. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that cursed thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See all those promises. So Abraham did what? He also listened, you know. Children, when our parents tell you, do this and I will give you something, it's, you know, we have to listen. So what did Abraham do? Abraham departed. Because he had also, you know, he had heard, God has promised me this. He has said this, that, and me. Okay, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was how old then? 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Can you imagine? Look at how that promise went. For someone that was 75 years old. So it means from the age of 0 to 75, Abraham was still in his father's house. Still in the family house. In Nigeria, they say, oh, I knew I go delay more. He was still in his delay, you know. At 75, God started making him promises. And look at how that promise went from stage to stage. And God told him, for these promises to come to pass, so you can't stay where you are. Now, as I examine Abraham's life, I want you to also relate it to your own life as well. God made a promise to Abraham. I said, I will do this. I will bless thee. I will turn you this. You don't understand that? But you have to live where you are. So you see, it means that for things to happen, you can't be comfortable. Because Abraham left his comfort zone. He left the home that he grew up with. Can you imagine someone that was 75 years old already? As I'm 75 years old, some of us are retired already. Abby, daddy, Abby, as I'm 75, some of us are retired. So at retirement age was when he began his own journey. So he listened and he proceeded at 75 years old. In verse 7, what happened in verse 7? He said, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and unto the plain, no, 7 please, 7. And the Lord appeared to Abraham again. So let's see. So you see, God has promised Abraham in verses 2, 3. Again, see another promise. And God appeared unto Abraham and said, unto your seed I will give this land that you are passing through. And there he built an altar unto the Lord that appeared to him. So, you see, as Abraham left his father's house, you know, there was a word that came in his father's house. He heard. He did what? He took a step. He moved. He left his comfort zone. He started passing through that land. And when he started passing through the land, God appeared to him, you know, because he took the first step first. Then God began to, you know, double that promises more and more. Amen. Let's look at chapter 12 as well. You know, as soon as Abraham, so, you know, I want you to like relate. So when you hear God's word, make sure you always take that step. So there's always a reward for each step you take. It means when instructions come from the altar, from the man of God, from people, even from your dreams, when God speaks to you, take that step first. Regardless of how uncomfortable you might be, you just take the step and watch God in action. In chapter 12, verses 1 to 7, it said, therefore, it shall come to pass, when Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So this was when he was journeying. He was journeying. Now, we are going to look for another promise. Genesis 12, 1, I'm sorry. Okay, now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of the country from thy kingdom and from thy father's house unto the land I will show thee. Oh, sorry, we've seen it. Let's go at 13, 1 to 7. So you can see that there are two times now. As we've seen now, God has promised Abraham twice now. Now, Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. Now, this is after a lot of things have happened. He had already taken the step. He was journeying. As he was journeying, God was going with him. The promises were there. He had that promise at the back of his head. God has promised me, I'll be this, I'll be that. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. Mind you, he's still on his journey. He still hasn't gotten to where God wanted him to be. But he was already going. And as he was going, God was already fulfilling part of those promises. And he went on his journey from south, even to Bethel, onto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Four. Onto the place of the altar, which he had made there first. So this was the first altar he made along his journey. And then Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Five. And Lot, which went with him, had flocks and herds and tents. Six. And the land was not able to bear them. Now see, Abraham had left his house. He has left his father's house. He has left the comfort. He left everything behind and began to walk on the journey of God. And God promised him. And as he took that step, those promises started coming to pass bit by bit. If we go and study the Bible very well, when Abraham left, he didn't leave with a lot of things. But along his journey, he began to multiply. Just as when God created Adam and said, multiply, fill the earth, replenish. So you see God's commandments in Genesis when God created Adam. Now Abraham has started fulfilling that promises as well. So Abraham has right now, you know, amassed wealth. He had lots of cattle, he had silver. Still, he's still on that same journey, still hadn't gotten to the promised land yet. But God was already started fulfilling his promises. So because we're examining the promises and how God was fulfilling it. Now he said the land was not able to contain him and his brother, because when he left with his cousin. Lot. Because the blessings was too much. Remember God told him, I will bless you. I will bless you. That's what God said. Now that blessings was too much. It could not contain him and Lot. He said, and the land was not able to bear the two of them together, that they might dwell there together. For their substance was great. Their wealth was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and herdsmen of Lot. You know, there was rifts. And what happened when this happened? Abraham called Lot and said, do you know what? There's no need for us to fight. We are you. We are family. We are the same thing. Just look out around. Look east. Look west. Just pick a land that you will reside. And what did Lot do? We all know the story. Lot took the finest part. He looked for the beautiful part that had vegetation, that had water, where he could grow, where things were happening. What did he do? He took that for himself. And do you know what? He said, fine, if that's what you want, you can go. And he left the northern part for Abraham, where there is a hilly, where you can grow stuff. And what did God do? God still came back and still told Abraham that don't worry, even though your cousin has taken the better part of that land, I will still bless you. Let's read down the line. Let's read verse 8. Verse 9, I want you to, 10, see, okay, 11, keep going down. I want you to see where after Lot has left, God still blessed him. Lot, okay, hold on, go back to 11. He said, then Lot chose him the plain of Jordan. You know, Lot looked at the finest part. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from all another. So this is when that land could not contain them, and he asked Lot to choose a place for yourself. Don't worry. You just go, so that this place cannot contain the two of us. 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked. This is where Lot went to. 14. He chose something that was nice in the eye, but there was something behind. And see, 14 said, and Lot said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, said, lift up your eyes. Look from the place where you are standing. As far as your eyes can see, look north, look south. East, west, 15. For the land that you see, can you imagine when God asks you to look for people that have good sight? If God tells you, stand at Heathrow and look, if you can see up to Manchester or Liverpool, he said, for the land that you see, I will give it to your seed forever. See, more promises. You see, God kept on, you know, promising Abraham. You know, I was looking at it and I'm like, this Abraham will be very, very special. God kept promising him. Even in the face of adversity, even when things were not even going right, God still kept on promising him. You know, at one point, God gave him a prophecy about his seed will be in slave of the land for 400 years. but he will still, you know, God was telling him the future. Don't worry, I will bless your seed, you will multiply, you replenish. But at some point, your seed will still go to Egypt and they'll be enslaved for 400 years, but I will still judge them. I will deliver them. See, still, the promises kept going on and on. If you look at verse 15, 1 to 5, this is where God was, chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, sorry. Still, the promises kept going on. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." And Abraham said to the Lord, "What will you give me, seeing that I will go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer Damascus." Now see, this is where Abraham began to feel one kind. "God, I know you are blessing me. You know, I have wealth, I have money, I have this. Yeah? But I don't have a seed that will inherit all this wealth that you are giving me. Do you think that God that was giving him all that wealth, that was giving him everything, did God not have a plan for him?" You see, God knows that at some point, Abraham will leave, but someone has to take over. But Abraham, in his own carnal mind, he started doing calculation. "Okay, since I don't have a seed, I don't have anybody that will inherit this. Well, my slaves, all my servants, they are giving birth. You know, they are doing this. I can will one of these, or most of these things to them." You know, so when God now came back again, I still promised Abraham, "Don't worry, you see, all this land, I'm going to give it to your seed." See what Abraham has said. "Behold, Abraham said, behold, to me, that has given no seed. When God has told him, I'll give this land to your seed. One born in my house is my heir." So he said, "Okay, God, since there is no seed for me, let me just will all this. When I'm gone, let me give it to any of the children of my slaves." Verse 5, what did God say? 5. "And he brought him from above and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if you will be able to number them. He said unto them, so shall thy seed be." Can you imagine? Someone that has no child yet. And God is telling him, look at the stars. If you can count them, if you can, that's how uncountable your children will be. And you can imagine Abraham will be thinking in his mind, this Baba that is just telling me this all this while. Look at how old I am. I'm over 70s. I'm in my retirement age. I have left my comfort zone. I'm like, you know, let's be honest. I'm sure even though Abraham was following God in his mind, there will be a bit of doubt. You know, that second thought, like, am I even doing the right thing? I know God has been telling me, I'll do this, I'll do that for you. But still, in this face of adversity, he's telling me, I'll bless your seed, I'll do this, I'll do that. I still don't have that seed. But even though I'm amassing the wealth, though, I'm getting cattle, I'm getting slaves, I'm getting silver, I'm getting gold, I'm being rich. I still don't have that seed, but God is still telling me that I will give you that seed. Am I sure I'm doing the right thing? I want you to liken this to your situation as well. You know, there are some points in time where God has said things, good things about you, about your future. And you're still thinking, God, I know you have brought me away from my father's house. You brought me away from my comfort zone. You brought me into a land that I am an alien inside. But you're still telling me that you are still going to make me to, you know, subdue. I'm going to replenish. I'm going to multiply. Just begin to think about it. It is God's word. It never changes. It never changes. Let's look at chapter 16 from verses 7 to 11. Now look at the cunningness of Abraham. And the angel of God, okay, before this, we all know about the story where at some point, Sarah gave up. Like, do you know what? I think, yeah, God has given us that promise, but let us help God's hand. What did Sarah do? She brought her handmaid, Hagar, and said, do you know what, Abraham, I don't think I'll be able to give you that hair that you're looking for. Take, let this one have hair for you. Take her. You know, so that God's promises can be fulfilled. See, they were trying to help God. God that gave them the promise, gave them that promise. He was going to fulfill it at his own time. You know, but because they were thinking like, time is going. Age is going. Can I still bear fruit? You know, so she helped God. And when she did that, Hagar became pregnant. No, she did. And when Hagar became pregnant, God still came and told Abraham, that is not the hair I am going to give to you. No. So you see, when God gives us a promise and we are expectant and we are waiting, don't let us help God. You know, I've heard a story where they say, oh, someone was trying to help God. They told them this, that, 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 that. But you don't help God. All we need to do is just follow instruction. Take that step and see. Just begin to see how things will begin to change. Hagar did that. Hagar did that. She became pregnant. At the end of the day, she did what? She had a son. She had a son. And when she had a son, the son was called Ishmael. Now, look at God's word, though. You know, God said to Abraham, I will bless your seed. They will multiply. I will give them land. Ishmael is not God's, is Ishmael not Abraham's seed? Is Abraham's seed now? So you think that promise is not also applicable to Ishmael? It is applicable to Ishmael. But the child that God wanted to use for his glory was not Ishmael. So Ishmael sort of, you know, oh, Father, bah, blessing, you know. I'm sorry for those who don't understand Yoruba. So he said, Ishmael also stole part of that promises because Ishmael too is a son of Abraham, regardless. And if you trace Ishmael down to his roots, Ishmael are those we call the Arabs. Am I not right? And look at how Arabs they are right now. They are like dominating their region, Arabs. So still, Ishmael also took part of that blessing. He still did. By the end of the day, Sarah still became pregnant. Did she know? Let's look at how God first promised, how Ishmael took part of that blessings in chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, Genesis. He said, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar. Now, this is when she became pregnant. She had not given birth yet. And now when she became pregnant, Sarah became jealous. See, you, she's the one that tried to help God. God gave your husband promise. Your promises were being delayed. You say, let me help God. God was staying, he was looking at them. Okay, carry on, help yourself. When you help, the result came. She now became jealous. I'm sure she was thinking to herself, if I had known, self, I shouldn't have done it. She became hostile to the maid. The maid ran away when she couldn't take anymore. Now, when she was running away, the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a fountain in the water in the wilderness, by the fountain on the way to shore. 8. And he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where are you going? Where comest thou? And where are you going? Where are you coming from? And where you're going? And Hagar said to that angel, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. 9. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return back. You see? Return back. Because that child must take out of that blessing. Because it's Abraham's seed. You see, that's the word of God. Return back. And submit yourself under Sarah. 10. And the angel of the Lord said to her, look again. I will do what? I will multiply that your seed, even though it's not the seed that God wants, but in as much as it's Abraham's seed. So this also links back to that God's promises from the beginning. I will do what? I will multiply that seed exceedingly, and they shall be numbered for a multitude. So you see, if you go back to that Genesis 2, what did God tell Abraham to? I will multiply your seed. God told Abraham, look at the stars. I will multiply. So in as much as Ishmael was Abraham's seed, that blessing also was applicable to him. Amen. In verses 11, what happened? And the angel of the Lord said unto you, behold, you have a child. You are pregnant. You see, you are pregnant, and you call that boy Ishmael because the Lord has heard of your affliction. Now, because Sarah has helped God. Sarah helped God. Without God, you know, when God was looking at Sarah, Sarah helped God's hand. And now, a child has come, but that child also will take part of that blessing and will multiply. So you see, also think about it in your life. When you try to help God, there might be consequences. Oh, that's the consequence. So you see, the blessing that Isaac was supposed to enjoy all by himself without contending, he now had a stepbrother. And that stepbrother and Isaac, their generation, what's happening is there today? You can imagine. I leave that for everybody to think about in your mind. Because one person decided to help God. So please think about it. When there's a word concerning your situation, do not help God. Stand to God. There are a lot of promises. If you begin to look at it, there are a lot of promises. When God promised Sarah and said, you will have a son, God appeared in so many ways, in dreams, in visions. God even came in the form of angel. He went past Abraham's camp. And Abraham saw three men. They came, they were walking by. And Abraham, I don't know what led to Abraham. You see, that's like another lesson. When you know the presence of God, appreciate. I was wondering what went through Abraham's mind. You can imagine, maybe you sit in your house and you see people that you don't know passing by. How would you know how did Abraham know that those three men that came were from God? How did he know that the third person was God? The two were angels. Because, I began to imagine. And, reflect in my own day. So how will I know if I see a true man of God? I know my dad is a true man of God anyway. But, try to, you understand. He saw the three of them, and he did what? He quickly called them in. Ah, come, let me, you know, he prepared a room for them. He gave them food and everything. And he looked at him and said, don't worry. By this time next year, your wife will have a son. And Sarah, in the other tent, she was eavesdropping, you know, as all our women do. When your husband, when they have unknown guests, you wanted to see what they are going on. And when she heard, she laughed. And she was laughing in the tent, and they heard, and they said, where is your wife? He said, oh, she's in the tent. She will have a son next year. And she began to laugh. And they told her, why are you laughing? She said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. We know you were laughing. You were laughing. He said, no, I didn't laugh. But before she even laughed, she thought to herself, I am 90 years old. How will I have a son? You know, like I said, science tries to do a lot of things, tries to prove a lot of things, but there are things that are very, very supernatural that science cannot prove. Sarah was thinking to herself, 90 years old. You know, I'm like, in the medical terms, women at 45, they enter menopause age. They enter menopause. So it means without menopause, nothing can happen. She started thinking to herself, 90 years old. So she laughed. And what happened? God did still fulfill that promise. He still did. He did. You know, that birth was, you know, in fact, when I was thinking about it, I was like, when Sarah got pregnant, how did she feel at that age? I remember we had a testimony last year where one of our mommy in the Lord shared with us a 65-year-old woman, 68-year-old woman that had triplets. You know, I began to wonder, I'm not a woman, but, you know, my mom is, how do you think it will feel when somebody who is over 60 will begin to carry baby? Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. We also began to wonder. You know, at times when you hear things, try to visualize and try to wonder, how do you think that person will feel at that time? But for Sarah's time, it was a thing of joy. It was a thing of joy. And God did, you know, God came true. God fulfilled his promises. So my word to you today, people, please, anytime there is a promise of God, anytime there's instruction, take the first step. Even if you don't know what to do, even if that instruction seems a bit difficult, take your first step first and see how God will work with you. I know a lot of us that we are here today, I'm sure like maybe just the younger ones that were born here, a lot of us, we came from our father's house. We came from that comfort zone. But we took what? We took that first step. How do we take the first step? First, we have to go and collect passports, do visa. You know, that kind of thing. You took the first step because you wanted a better life. You took that first step because you wanted things to change for you. You took the first step because you know that your future has to be secure, just as Abraham took the first step. And please, warning, don't help God. Just follow instruction, because he will definitely fulfill that promises. There are a lot of examples in the Bible where God has promised. Even Jesus. God promised Jesus to us. Did you know? He did. He promised. When Moses was trying to baptize, he said, there's somebody coming that is coming before me. Sorry, not Moses. John the Baptist. You know, he said, oh, there's somebody coming after me. Oh, I'm not the Messiah. But this person, I'm not even fit to clean his shoes. There are all sorts of promises that God has given to certain people. Look at David. Look at Solomon. Promises, 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 promises. But did God not come true? He came true. And people that tried to help God in the Bible, there were repercussions. So please, please, people of God, when there's promises, try to stay. Try to wait on God. Don't help God. And lastly, before I leave, I'm just going to leave you with just this word. And this word has been the word that our daddy has been using for about a month or so now. Revelation 21:6. Revelation 21:6. You know, this is just an affirmation. He said, and he said unto me, it is. He said unto me, it is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the. So please, today, if you haven't heard anything today, just remember this part. And he said unto me,
it is done.
Amen. Let us just rise up and say something nice to God. Let us rise up, say something nice to God. I appreciate God for his promises, because there is nobody that God created that he didn't give a good promise to. Tell God how wonderful you think he is for giving you promises concerning your life. You being in this country today is a promise that came true. And you know that the next step you are going to take, God is with you. Just tell God that you know that you begin to follow instruction henceforth. And thank God that God For today, if I've not been following your instruction, I'll begin to follow today. Amen.
Keep on appreciating God. Let's appreciate the man of God. Let's appreciate the man of God. If it is a time of food, we will say, is there anything stopping us from pouring oil on him now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to begin to appreciate God for those words. Appreciate God for those words. Don't help God. It is done. It will come true. It is done. It will come true. Don't help God. Just talk to God. Lord, I surrender to your will. I surrender to your promises. I will not help your promises. I know it will come true. I know it will come true. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Librandu libra koshogede. Libre to koshogede. Likampo koshogede. Likuntela bali koshogede. Just talk to him. Libre broto yegede. Just talk to God this morning. In Jesus' majestic name we pray. I'll give us one prayer point and I'll release the blessing God put in my heart to release to this house today. I want you to pray. Every power backing issues in my life, let the power be destroyed today. Can I tell us this, please, before we pray? There's nothing that makes somebody to leave his father's house and struggle. Go and check from Genesis to Revelation. Our pastor was talking to us about Abraham. As he stepped out, blessing upon blessings was coming. Even when he struggled, it's not lack. Even when he struggled, it's not lack. I want us to pray this morning. Any power that is backing struggling in my life, any power that is backing delay in my life, any power that is backing issues in my life, let the power be destroyed this morning. I want you to open your mouth and pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Any power backing it, whatever is making me to struggle in life, whatever is making this land of England that they call the land of milk and honey, whatever is making me to struggle, whatever is making me to have a delay, let the power be destroyed today. Every power from my father's house, every power from my mother's house that is backing, struggling in my life. Every power in my foundation that is backing, struggling in my life, let it be destroyed this morning. Just cry to God. Cry to God. Any power, wherever it's coming from, any incantation, every release word, every agreement with the devil that is backing, struggling in my life, let it be canceled today. Let it be canceled today. Cry to Jesus. Jehovah, cry to whatever it is. Libranto loko shelegade, lebaranda yagade bregede, iba koshonde yagade. Anything back is struggling in my life. Whatever it is, whatever is making my children to struggle, whatever is making my wife to struggle, whatever is making my husband to struggle. Oh God, my Father, remove the power today. Remove that power today. Remove that power today. Remove that power today. Ligade. Whatever is making me to struggle in my health, in my health, in my finances, in my career, oh God, let the power be destroyed today. Let that power be destroyed today. Lord, you are not the originator of sickness. You are not the originator of lack. You are not the originator of delay. Remove it this morning. Remove it this morning. In Jesus' majestic name we pray. One of the things the man of God told us is about Abraham. I look at herself. She was already in menopause. But thank God it is menopause. It is not menostop. Abby? It is menopause. I don't know whether the tip pause play this. When we were young, there's this cassette player. The children cannot relate with it. It has a button pause. So when you are discussing, you pause. When you want to continue, you pause. And when you pray, you are going to pray. Everything that the enemy has put a pause in my life, Lord, my father, meadow play today. Every meadow pause, let him move to meadow play. Every delay, let it kickstart this morning. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Whatever has been paused, oh God, my father, kickstart it today. Every blessing that has stopped, Lord, kickstart it today. Just pray to yourself. Even women that have natural menopause, we kickstart it today. We kickstart it today. If God can menopause start I said, can men not start Elizabeth? If we men not start you today, just cry to him this morning. Cry to him this morning. He is God by himself. He does everything by himself. He does everything by himself. Just call upon him today. Every pause in my finances, whatever is making my progress to come to a halt, oh God, kickstart it today. Oh God, kickstart. In Jesus' name we pray. It's like we don't understand this. When I say menopause, it may be your finances that is on pause. You work, you cannot explain. It may be education that is on pause. Oh God, kickstart it again. God said, I will do it again. No, that was a scripture. I said, I will overturn. He said it three times. Until it belongs to who it belongs to. Nobody left his country to come to UK to be stranded. I don't know about you. I will give my testimony when I'm about to do the Thanksgiving. But I want you to pray, Lord, kickstart everything in my life. Kickstart good health in my life. Kickstart my finances. Kickstart prosperity in my life. Kickstart progress in my life. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Ask God to kickstart it this morning. Kickstart it this morning, Lord. Kickstart it this morning, Lord. Just pray for that. Lord, kickstart it this morning. Let me move into a season of continuous progress, into a season of continuous blessing, in a season of continuous moving forward. Cry to God this morning. Litimbranto kosho legede, libra dagado kosho degede. In Jesus' majestic name we pray. I wrote this 7 prayer points down that God gave to me. And I will pray it. I just want you to say a loud amen. I wrote it down in the middle of the night today. Every witchcraft agreement against your life. Every agreement in any evil coven. Against your life. Against your children. Against your establishment in UK. I break it by fire today in the name of Jesus. I break it by fire today in the name of Jesus. Every evil covenant that you have entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, that is affecting your settlement in England, that is affecting your progress in England, that is affecting your moving ahead, today that covenant is broken in the name of Jesus. That covenant is broken in the name of Jesus. That covenant is broken in the name of Jesus. Every of your image, every of your clothes, everything that represents you that has been taken to evil altar, anything, any word you have spoken, the recording of your phone call that has been played in evil coven, today I erase it with the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus. It will no more act against you in the name of Jesus. And your clothes, your representation in evil coven, I release it away from there today in the name of Jesus. I replace it with the person who bring you there in the name of Jesus. Every agreement with death, every agreement with sickness, I annul it today in the name of Jesus. Every agreement with poverty, every agreement with lack, I annul it today with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that heaven will set you free from every evil agreement. God will set you free from every evil agreement. That evil thing you contacted through dreams, through sex, through food, I pull you out of it today in the name of Jesus. I pull you out of it today in the name of Jesus. Every libation, every wine, every palm wine that was poured on any junction, any concussion that was taken to any junction because of you, because you are here today, your name is pulled out of those agreements in the name of Jesus. Your identity is pulled out of that agreement in the name of Jesus. Your children is pulled out of that agreement in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Every word that is waiting for the day of manifestation, every curse that was set on a future date, waiting for the time to manifest, because you are here today, I remove the cloud of evil away from your life in the name of Jesus. Every evil cloud waiting to fall, I dispatch it with the anointing of God today in the name of Jesus. Hear me and hear heaven today. I appear physically in the dark room of your father's house. I appear where they lock you up in your father's house. I open that door by fire today in the name of Jesus. You are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. Your destiny cannot be locked up. Your glory cannot be locked up. Your children cannot be locked up. Your wealth cannot be locked up. Your glory cannot be locked up. In the name of Jesus. Finally, the Bible says, when Peter got into the city gate, he said the gate opened on his own accord. I pray for you this morning. The gate of United Kingdom, we open for you. The gate of United Kingdom, we open for you. The gate of that company you are looking for work, it will open for you. The gate of that career, we open for you. The gate of marriage, we open for you. The gate of raising proper children, we open for you. The gate of wealth, we open for you. This year, you will know it for good. This year, you will know it for progress. This year, ever we back your word. Ever we back your prayer. Ever we back your request. You will not labor in vain. You will not labor in vain. You will not labor in vain. Hear me for the next time. You will not labor in vain. Whatever turn what should be enjoyment to labor. Whatever turn what is enjoyment to labor. Whatever turns what is enjoyment to labor. I cancel it today in the name of Jesus. Mercy will speak for you. Jehovah will speak for you. For everyone that have any case against them here, any application you are waiting for, I took your case from the court of law to the court of mercy. I took that case from the court of law to the court of mercy. Mercy will speak for you. Mercy will speak for your children. Mercy will speak for your spouse. It is well with you. It is well with you. It is well with you. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. As I pray for myself, that as my age increase, Lord, let my strength increase. I pray for you, your strength will increase. Day by day, your strength will increase. Day by day, your strength will increase. You will see your children. If the coming of the Lord tarry, you will see your children. In the name of Jesus. you will not be bed bound. You will not be sickness bound. God will give you total freedom. Thank you, mighty Father. Lord, I pray for everybody here that this year it is a 12-month calendar. And like Pastor Ake said, I am on triple 20. I pray for you. Every request you have made from God, that will triple answers in the name of Jesus. Every request you have requested from God, there will be triple answers in the name of Jesus. In this month of February, triple answers. In March, triple answers. In April, triple answer. In May, triple answer. In June, triple answer. In July, triple answer. In August, triple answer. In September, it is a month of birth. It will be triple, triple answers for you in the name of Jesus. September, it will be triple, triple answers for you in the name of Jesus. October, triple answer. November, triple answer. December, triple answer. You will not lose your testimony. You will not lose your joy. Thank you, mighty Father. We worship, we adore you. In Jesus' majestic name, we pray. Let's put hands together for Jehovah. Hallelujah.